rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. There's within my heart the melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace, peace, peace. In the light of heaven flow. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills my every lonely. Keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. This could fill my heart with pain. Jesus walked across the broken streets, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Instrument's going to play through this verse. Turn to your neighbor, smile on your face, and say, good to see you today.
Win my fight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. My soul, for which long I have sought, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, what the joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roar. My wandering and going astray, since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, came into my heart. Lights of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I will glory in the cross, bless his suffering, all be in vain. I will be no more for the cross that he bore. I will glory in the cross.
Well, amen, and welcome to you this morning. Man, we got a good group here. Got a new choir up here. Look at these guys, man. Yeah, just a few moments, Brother Stacy and Miss Deborah are going to have a little program with the kids for us, and we look forward to that. And then also, you probably came in, you saw all the decorations, see the excitement surrounding the Vacation Bible School that we'll start tomorrow. A lot of good stuff going on there. It's going to be 3 nights, 7 to 9, of just nothing but fun and excitement and learning and teaching the kids about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's going to be good. Y'all pray for us about that. And also just encourage our guest here this morning, our first-time visitors, make yourself at home. I know many of you have come because we have a couple of baptisms at the end of the service, and we're thankful for your young people that we're baptizing and their faith in Christ Jesus. And we're thankful that you chose to come and be a part of the service and witness that. And so make yourself welcome. And so let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer, and then we'll turn it right over to Brother Stacy and enjoy these kiddos. Okay? Aaron, Francis, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Amen. Thank you. May be seated.
Well, good morning. I was sitting in there going over some stuff with the kids and stuff, and Brother Chris came running in because we had this timing on the song. We had this stuff set up to Brother David, and I was sitting there, boy, and I'm going over some things, and Brother Chris popped in there. Are y'all coming in doing the song service now, you know? And I said, yeah, you're running out of time. You know, you better get it. And we were. And I had a couple of items I was going to bring with me, something to show that I knew. When I got all rushed to get inside here, I didn't bring them. I left them standing in there. And as we were coming in, getting the guys in, y'all did so good coming in too, guys. I was trying to think in my mind, okay, I'll tell him to go that road, and I got time. I can sprint. I can run. I can go get my things. I can get back in here. And then boy, that song was getting that one. No. This is not going to work. My sprinting days or my sprint days are a little past me a little bit more. So anyway, those are not with me. We have a theme, and I'm so privileged to visit the junior church. Lord, give me that privilege to serve in that capacity in the junior church, me and my wife. And each year I try to pick a theme for that year to be focused on. Well, this year it's been knowing the books of the Bible, books of the Bible theme. And so this is a work in progress, what you're about to see. It's going to take the whole year accomplishing what our dream is on it. So far, we've got 9 of our kids that have quoted every book of the Bible, you know, mm-hmm. The 66 books. We've got 9 of them, yay. We got the 9 that have gone through, you know, with quoting the books of the Bible for us. And we got a special, that's one thing I was going to show, but we got a special prize, a special reward that they'll be receiving, those 9 today. But throughout the year, our goal is to get everybody, to have this thing, okay? And then the other thing, I've got a parrot. It's a talking parrot named Chatty Patty. It repeats everything that's said. And Chatty Patty, every week, she helps us and goes over. We quote the books of the Bible, go up to the Bible, and she quotes it. We quote it with her. But the song you're about to see, and there's kids singing, is going to be a books of the Bible song. So this is a song that we've done every Sunday so far this year, and we're going to do every Sunday throughout the year about the books of the Bible. So, guys, I want to remind y'all be sure to focus your eyes on that big TV over there, okay? Don't look at all these scary eyes out here.
Don't worry about none of that. Don't worry about. Don't focus down on all that. Okay. Be sure to put your eyes up there on that big TV. Okay. And then get ready. We'll take a breath a little bit. Remember, like we do in junior church, we want to out sing what's coming on there on the screen on the big screen. We want to over sing that. Brother David has his mic'd up to bring us out and stuff. But just get ready. Know the books of the Bible song. We sang it, haven't we? And so let's sing it out today for the Lord, for Jesus. Ready? Take that breath. All right.
The books of the Bible, time-tested and reliable. Scripture has a power that's undeniable. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, and Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, and Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. The books of the Bible, their wisdom's verifiable. Scripture has a power that's undeniable. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts and Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians 1 and 2, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1 and 2 John,
3 John,
Jude and Revelation, the books of the Bible, time-tested and reliable. Now you know all 66 books of the Bible.
Job, it really was. Hey, Bible Baptist Junior Church, tell me, what is our theme verse?
1 Corinthians 7:9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard in the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. 1 Corinthians 2:9.
Very good. Very good. So like I said, that's a preview of what goes on in there. Now, starting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock will be Vacation Bible School, the Rocket Racers. So get everybody here, man. It's going to be an exciting night. We're going to, it starts off at 7 o'clock, an assembly with everybody with fun songs, and we take up a penny offering. Always challenge, always say, we'll have a rolls of pennies at the registration table where they sign in at. So always say for the girls, always remember to bring you a dollar, maybe a five, get a change, different pennies, okay? Guys, find your tens and your twenties, okay? And get them turned in for the penny rolls. But encourage them, it's a fun thing to take up the offering, and we always use that money that comes in Vacation Bible School to go to some special mission project that our church is supporting into, a camp or something we look into a need. It's always special to get to send that gift based on Vacation Bible School, you know what happened. So that takes place, then they get dismissed and they go to lessons and crafts and games and snacks and all kind of events happening. Then they come back into the General Assembly, and during that time there's a funny skit, kind of a nutty funny skit that takes place, the offering revealed. Brother Chris, our preacher, he's drawing names and stuff is happening. Boy, it's a fun 3 nights, okay? So be sure to start tomorrow night, 7 to 9, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Rocket Racers. All right? All right, thank you.
Well, let's all stand once again, please. Here we go. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I'll worship your holy name. The sun up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord. Holy name sings like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find.
Really sing it out.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name.
Thank you, Lord, for give it us this day, Lord, the Lord's Day, a day of maintenance, so to speak, physically and spiritually, Lord, a time to come to the house of God and be refreshed and encouraged by your word, Lord, to fellowship with brothers and sisters in the family of God, to pray, to praise you, to get into your word, Lord, and hear what you have to say to us. And Lord, it's just a joy to see our young people learning the books of the Bible, and we pray, Lord God, that you'll help us as parents and grandparents to instill in them the word of God and what you have for their life, and Lord, what you want to do in their future. And I thank you, Lord, for the program they had. I pray your blessings over our vacation Bible school the next 3 nights, Lord. It'll be so enjoyable. But Lord, more important than that, Lord, let it plant the seeds of the gospel in the lives of these children. We thank you, Father, for the guests that we have here this morning, people that have come for whatever reason. I pray that you'll bless and encourage them and help them to feel at home here in the house of God. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd guide my words, that they'd be clear and direct, that my thoughts would be very clear and my speech would be very clear, that, Lord, that we could not have any distractions in our service for the next 20, 25 minutes. And God, deal with the hearts of your people. And Father, if there be anybody here that's not yet a child of God, not yet know what it means to accept Jesus, that you'll deal with their heart and show them that today is the day of salvation. We thank you for your blessings. We love you, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you'll turn in your Bibles over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and I'm so thankful for Brother Stacy and Miss Deborah and those that help back there in Junior Church. I know Penny on Wednesday night does a lot back there. And we have so many good people that teach Sunday school classes and teach our children. And we're grateful for the ministry they have. There's ministry and their services back there are equally as important as what goes on here in this auditorium. We get to worship in here and we get to learn, but they do as well. And so we're thankful for that ministry as well. Philippians chapter 4, more than once you have heard me say, what's down in the well will come up in the bucket. I've said it time and time again. And that's just a simple country metaphor that's saying whatever you and I have in our heart will eventually, sure, come up in our everyday lives. It will surface, okay? Our attitudes, our words, our actions will eventually be affected by what we have going on the inside. Can we cover it up? Sure we can. Can we put our best foot forward and be able to fool people? Yes, we can. But it's just a matter of time for at least some of our internal content to come to the surface. Fear, anger, hate, hurt, vengeance, regret, jealousy, insecurity, bitterness, loneliness, any number of these other emotions can lie within us and affect our lives more than we realize. So it's very important that we keep our hearts healthy. Now there's a verse over in Proverbs in chapter 4 verse 23, and I'll ask y'all when you put it up there, just leave it up there till we get to the next text, which will be a good while, okay? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That verse is very clearly stating what we've just explained. The issues of life flow from our hearts, from what's inside. What are some of the greatest issues of our life? Our marriages, our jobs, parenting, friendships, relationships in general, our emotional health, our mental health, our physical health. All of these things are very important in things in our everyday life. And they're all influenced by our inner being, our inner person. And so this proverb just makes another fact very clear to us. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence. It's telling us, hey, you can do something about your heart. You can keep it. It tells us that, in fact, the word keep is a Hebrew word. It comes from the Hebrew that it's a military term. It's used to describe standing guard or watching over or protecting something. We have the ability to watch over our heart. We have the ability to protect our heart. God wouldn't tell us to do it in this verse if it were not possible. So it's very important that we protect our insides. How do we do that? Well, there's many ways to do that, but let me just name a few. One, we can manage what enters our heart. We can control, we can guard the door, if you will, and say what's going to enter our heart. Obviously, we want to keep things pure. It's important avoiding things that that would be contaminate our hearts in the way of sin. But also, folks, there are other people around us. There are environments around us that are not healthy. Not healthy for us to be around. People that are negative or gossip or people that spew hatred or have a critical attitude. Folks, there are always going to be individuals that we encounter that display those things, and we might have to have some exposure to them, sure. But we should keep them at arm's length as best we can. Keep some distance from them. How many of you have difficult family members? Look straight ahead. Don't glance at them. How many of you are that difficult family member? I could probably say that. You know, there are those things in our life. And we can't get rid of our family members, okay? But we can learn to distance ourselves from whatever it is that they possess that's not good for our hearts. Part of guarding our hearts is managing what we allow to enter, limiting the access. The second part of it is making certain that certain things leave our hearts. No longer welcome. It's kind of like a bouncer in a club. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I knew you did. You say last night. No, I'm just a bouncer in a club, or if it were maybe a security guard. Let's use that better. Okay, at a concert or a sporting event, if someone in attendance becomes unruly or causing trouble or endangering others, what do? That security person goes in and says, "Hey, you got to go." They escort them out and tell them to stay out, right? You know, sometimes we have things inside that need to go. It needs to put out of our lives. Bitterness, unforgiveness, jealousy, anger, lust. You fill in the blank. Things that have proven to be disruptive to our internal life. Things that need to be taken by the collar and escorted to the door and thrown out and saying, "You're no longer welcome to stay in here." Our hearts will prove to be more peaceable places if we do that. But here's what every keeper of the heart needs to understand. Those things will try to sneak back in. Just bad feelings, just like bad people, don't want to get out and stay out. They want to make their way in, and they'll do what they can to regain entrance. How many times have you ever been hurt? And if hurt is not dealt with pretty quick, then it turns to anger. And that anger becomes really far more a dangerous emotion than the hurt is. And you quickly, if you can get a hold of that anger and you can kick it out and you think everything's all right, and then suddenly one day, it's the hardest thing in the world to get rid of anger, because one day that offense that hurts you to start with will come to mind, and then you'll mull it over a time or two, and then boom, anger's right back in. And you're like, "I thought I kicked you out yesterday." Anger's like, "You're the keeper of the heart, okay? I'm in, I'm back," and you got to take them out again. And sometimes, folks, I'm telling you, you might have to kick it out every day until it finally stays out. But there's no room for it in your life. It has to be bounced out of there time and time again until it's totally gone. A third way of keeping our heart is by doing some deep cleaning. My wife is a great housekeeper. If you've been to our house, you know that to be true. She's like all the ladies that clean this church. She has a very high standard of cleanliness, and I'm glad she does. And she'll always say, "Well, I've got to get home and clean." And I'm like, "The house looks fine. Relax, okay? I don't see anything wrong with it." And her response is, "It needs deep cleaning." It needs deep cleaning. What does that mean? It means getting below the surface. It means getting in the tiny corners and underneath the furniture and on top of the cabinets where dust is gathered and nobody else sees. And when she does that deep cleaning, when she goes into that mode, I just have to turn Gunsmoke off and go deep clean my barn or something. Because it's serious business when she deep cleans. You know what? I'm glad she does it. There's a great benefit to it. First of all, when I drop food on the floor, I can go ahead and eat it. No 5-second rule, anything. It's deep clean. But there's benefits to that cleanliness. And sometimes our hearts need deep cleaning. As Christians, we're pretty good at keeping things neat. We deal with the big stuff. But most of the major sins have already been swept out of our life. But there's some things that are not so obvious that need to be taken out. Maybe our thought life is not real clean. Maybe it's our entertainment that needs to be changed. Maybe it's not filthy, but it's not clean either. Our attitude, our language, our behavior, the things that take place with our families in privacy, behind closed doors where no one else sees. Some of that stuff needs deep cleaning. May not sound like very much fun, but like my wife's clean house, it's sure enjoyable when it's that way. Because the issues of life are affected by those things. A deep, cleaned heart will result in a better life. Another thing we must understand is nobody else can keep our hearts for us. That verse says, keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. It doesn't say keep somebody else's heart or somebody else can keep your heart. It's keep thy heart. It's personal. I can't keep your heart. You can't keep mine. Now, we may have some people in our life that are close to us, that love us, that may help us see some things that need to be dealt with. They may come along out of concern and bring some things to our attention, but it's still up to us to do the cleaning. It's just up to you and I to keep our own heart. One thing I know about my wife is she doesn't want anybody else cleaning her house. I'm pretty sure she wants me to help once in a while, but she doesn't want anybody else cleaning her house. She don't want somebody seeing her dirt. She doesn't want somebody pushing her broom. That's only she can do it the way she wants it to be done and the way it needs to be done. That's true of our hearts. We're the only ones that knows what's in there. We're the only one that knows what needs to go and what can stay. So only we ourselves can take care of it. And God expects us to do so. I want you to notice, he tells us to do it diligently. Keep thy heart with all diligence. You know that word diligent, it ties into that word keep. That we remember we saw that it's a military term of guarding or watching over or protecting, remember? And then it says do it diligently. In ancient times, if a soldier, were stationed at a post and expected to stand guard, if that person failed to do his duty, his lack of diligence would likely cost his life. That's just the way it worked in there. Well, you know, our lack of diligence in keeping our heart will also cost us our life. But it's quality of life that's at stake. Once again, I reiterate that because the issues of life are affected by the contents of our heart, if we don't keep it diligently, if we loosely guard our heart, then the enemy's going to find his way in. Contaminants are going to find their way in. So now we clearly understand the importance of keeping our hearts. And so I'm going to direct you to our text. You can take that text down. In Philippians chapter 4, and you say, wow, we're all the way 15 minutes in, and you're just now getting to your text. But I'll be very brief. We've got baptisms today, and I'll be brief. But in Philippians chapter 4, I want you to notice beginning in verse 6, the Apostle Paul says this, be careful for nothing, in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Watch. and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice this takes us beyond our own efforts to keep our hearts. This tells us that God will help us with the process. Obviously, as humans, we're very limited beings. We need an unlimited supernatural power in our life, and that comes through God. You know what some of the most difficult things to keep out of our heart are? Anxiety, fear, worry. Those, in my own experience, and I know in the experience of years and years of helping people and counseling with people, if those three things, anxiety, fear, and worry, are some of the most difficult things to get rid of in our life. They're emotions that can grip us with great intensity. And as far as their effect upon the issues of our life go, they can be debilitating. Never before have I seen so many people struggle with anxiety as we see today in our modern world. Some of our young people today, folks, they're at an age where they shouldn't have a care in the world, but yet they're petrified with the idea of having to interact with life. There's kids that hyperventilate and get anxious at the idea of just going to school. It's epidemic, and I don't understand why. There's a lot of things, and I've told you a lot of things. There's a lot of issues in our world that are causing this, but a lot of it has to do with the simple fact that they just don't have the peace in their heart. Adults are no different. Many adults are paralyzed by worry and fear. Fear of failure, fear of financial ruin, fear of rejection, fear of the things that are likely never going to happen. They spend their time staring at pictures that are not even hanging on the wall and likely never will hang on the wall. This verse says in chapter 6, be careful for nothing. He's saying stop worrying. Stop being anxious. In a nutshell, he's saying kick those emotions out. Show them to the door. Make them unwelcome. Folks, I know this is easier said than done. But God's word gives us the tools to work with. In the second part of verse 6, he says, do it in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. Paul is saying, take it to God. Dump it in his lap. He knows how to deal with it. He knows how to dispose of it. Supplication and thanksgiving and making requests, those are all particular elements of prayer that we can discuss at another time. But it all boils down to that last part of the verse. It says, making it known unto God. That's what it's all about. That's the goal. To tell God, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm fearful of. This is what I need to get out of my heart. I don't want to be anxious, God. I want to be able to trust you. I want to be able to follow you confidently. I don't want these feelings of fear in my life. And notice what it says in verse 7. After we've made these requests known unto God, God tells us, here's what can happen for you. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. What does it say peace will do? It will keep our hearts. That's what we've been discussing all morning, keeping our hearts. There's no greater keeper of the heart than God himself. Amen. And I want you to notice the sentinel that he assigns to stand guard over our heart. Peace. Peace of God, folks, is not just the absence of conflict in our life, but the peace of God is the presence of a supernatural tranquility, a quietness that cannot be found anywhere else, can only be found in Him. Folks, it starts with our salvation. You and I know that before we came to know Jesus, we weren't right with God. Why were we not right with God? Because He is an absolute, holy, and perfect God, and He cannot have sin in His presence. And any person that does not know Jesus Christ is still clothed in their sin. And God, being a just God, has to judge sin. We know that. So before we met Jesus, we're at odds with God. And if we take our last breath at odds with God, we know that that means eternity separated from God. That's not what any of us want. On the other hand, though, the good news is, the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus, when he hung upon the cross, he had the sins of all mankind placed upon him. And he faced the judgment of those sins for us. So the moment that you and I put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon him to be our Lord and Savior, then no sins are forgiven. Jesus has already paid the price for them, and so they're forgiven. And essentially, in the eyes of God, we're now clean. If you guys follow me around, you know I'm not a real clean guy. Okay, I make my mistakes. I'm a sinner just like anybody else. But in the eyes of God, because I put my faith in Christ, God says, well, he's clean. He's clothed in the righteousness of my son, Jesus. My sins were put to Jesus' account, and Jesus' righteousness was put to my account. Same thing for you if you're a child of God this morning. So therefore, we're at peace with God. What is it our text says will keep our hearts and minds? The peace of God. Friends, there's nothing like pillowing our heads at night knowing that we're a child of God. And that nothing can change that. We're at peace with him. And so come what may, it is well with our soul. So that's the peace of God in a judicial sense, okay? God's already judged the sins on the cross of Jesus Christ, okay? So in a judicial sense, we're at peace with God. But there's also another peace of God, another element of peace, if you will, and that is practical peace. It's when you and I, in our everyday life, are walking peaceably with God. Once we're placed in that father-child relationship, it's up to us to walk in harmony with him. He expects that of us, to walk in step with him, to be guided by his word, to be led by his spirit. And what that equates to is just walking in fellowship with God. But the truth of the matter is, relationships can be strained along the way. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? Well, when you and I allow things in our life that are contrary to God's word, things that he doesn't agree with, which comes down to a three-letter word, sin, those sins put us out of step with God. Those sins put us out of harmony with God. He's going one direction, we're going another. And guess whose direction is right? It's his, every time. So in a practical sense, our lives are not in harmony with God when you and I are walking contrary to his word in sin. And so what does that result in? A lack of peace. A lack of peace in our everyday life. Yes, we know we're children of God. Yes, we know that eternal life has been given to us. But in a practical sense, our relationship with God has been strained. I've walked with the Lord now for 34 years, only by God's grace. I know my salvation is eternal. I know that I have peace with God will spend eternity with him, okay? That's not going to change. But as much as I hate to admit it, I don't walk perfectly with God. In a practical sense, I'm not always right with God. I've stepped over the traces along the way. I've run a wheel off a time or two. And when that happens, because those things have made their way into my life, and it makes my heart impure, I haven't kept my heart well, then I become restless. If you've been a Christian very long, you know that when we are out of God's will, we become restless. Just knowing, we know. We don't want to admit it. But we know when we're not right with God. Because when things are not good and going well with God, then it's just, when you pillow your head at night, it's that nagging thing that you know, hey, I'm walking contrary to God. And so our peace escapes us. And so as the verse says here, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. Yes, it can keep us from an eternal sense, but in a practical sense, we've been disrupted. We can't have peace. So what has to be done about that? And Brother David, you guys can come. What does God want us to do? Does he say, oh, well, you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ again. You need to be saved again. You need to be baptized again. You need to go see the preacher again. No, none of that. You're already a child of God. You belong to him. You have a personal relationship with him through Christ. Then God just simply wants you to come to him, or me to come to him in prayer and say, hey, I see what's going on here. I see what I'm doing. And he wants you to confess that to him. And he wants you and I to say, hey, I'm going to walk away from that sin. I'm going to forsake it. I'm going to do things the way you want. And men, folks, I'm telling you, that peace that passeth all understanding comes back into our life when we know we're in harmony with God. Isn't that something? That it's not just any peace, but the Bible says it's a peace that passeth all understanding. You and I can't grasp that kind of peace. It only comes from God. It's an uncommon peace. It's a supernatural peace that not everyone experiences, but only those who, as the verse says, are in Christ Jesus, and those that are walking in harmony with God. Where are you at this morning in your life? If you're not a child of God, I can tell you this, you'll never have the peace that passeth all understanding. You can never, ever, ever in your entire life will have the peace that passeth all understanding until you know Jesus Christ personally. It's never going to happen. I wish I could tell you it would. It won't. You're a child of God here this morning, and you're still restless, then there's a chance there's some things going on there. You're walking out of step with God. I've been there more than I want to admit. But walking out of step with God, out of harmony with God, will steal your practical peace in everyday life. I want to ask you to stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to have a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to you about anything, you come. If you need to talk to me, I'll be right here. I'll have my Bible. But if God's spoken to you about anything, you come to these altars. Nobody's going to be looking around. All right, as heads are bowed, we'll have a verse of invitation.